2-1 of the Code of Sussex County to adopt the building construction standards in the International Building Code 2012 edition and the International Residential Code 2012 edition with exemptions. At this time, Mr. Wright, Andy Wright from the Building Code Department will come forward. He will explain the ordinance and the changes to the council. The council at that time can ask questions. After the council has asked questions, then there will be a public hearing and the public will have an opportunity to address this issue. So, Mr. Wright.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of the council. Over the last couple months and last year, we started with entertaining the notion and idea to go to a new code. What we found out through a workshop, response back from builders, property owners throughout Sussex County, that the wind zones has been diminished, which would be a cost saving in our coastal areas. Through the workshop, we also had back in April, members went through the list of significant changes, which is included in your package. The biggest one that we were looking at as far as is the implementation of fire sprinkler system in residential homes, duplexes, and townhouses. It was upon their recommendation, but the still shaky economic in the housing industry, that would be a proposed exemption from this code adoption. The other things, minor things, would be carbon monoxide test systems being placed in houses that have fuel fire furnaces, gas water heaters, gas stoves as a safety precaution. Another thing would be with engineered floor trusses, engineered, pre-engineered wood I-joists that have fuel fired mechanical systems underneath the crawl space or in basements that have some type of fire barrier added to a safeguard. Other than that, I do know there are some members of that panel or that workshop present here today if you do have any questions.
Mm-hmm. And all those would be exemptions of what you just listed, everyone is considered. It's considering those.
Yeah. The exemptions would be to exclude the fire sprinkler systems from mm-hmm. residential.
But that's all for residential.
Yes.
Not commercial.
No, commercial
mm-hmm.
would that be our,
yeah.
I think that's which is including ordinance, would be adopting
right. mm-hmm.
the 2012 International Residential Code,
right.
Chapter 1 through 10,
right.
With the exception that the ones that we already have in prior and the fire sprinkler system, and then the International Building Code, which can, handles our commercial structures and apartment buildings, would be from Chapter 1 to Chapter 26
okay.
and the references.
All right, good.
Multifamily structures like a townhouse project would be exempt from
yes.
sprinklers.
One and two family, so single family, duplexes, townhouses that are three stories or less would be exempted.
And it doesn't matter how many are tied together, like
no,
building a 6-8, whatever.
Not as long as they're providing the requirement for a two-hour wall
right.
between the
okay, right.
units and they're under the three stories.
And the wind zones, that's I'm looking for it in here. That's part of the new. Did you say something about the wind zones?
Wind zone has been declined through the American Civil Engineering Society.
So we don't have to worry about that it's been relaxed?
Yes, we are still in a hurricane area, but the high wind
right.
for impact glass has been relaxed.
If somebody getting a building permit now won't have to build to those?
Well, what we're recommending is an implementation date of October 1st.
Of this year?
Of this year,
okay,
2015.
So until October, they will still have to do that.
Yes, up until that date, the 2003 code will prevail, and then from submittals of October 1st and after, then they fall under the new code. That reason was through the Delaware Association of Professional Engineers, the
okay.
Delaware Board of Architects would like the, at least a 3 or 4 month time period to have anything that's out in design to give them ample
okay.
enough time to get it designed and ready for construction.
Mm-hmm.
How about facilities such as nonprofit buildings, charitable organizations, churches, those buildings? Would they be required to have the sprinkler systems?
Most of those, if it's open to general public, they will come under our commercial code, the IBC. And on our part, it's depending on the occupancy, the occupant load, and the square footage of that building, they may still require to have sprinkler systems. So,
I could produce a significant hardship on them, couldn't it?
In the past, there has been where it's either has alleviated the process or the building of it, or the, we've always tried to have options in lieu of sprinkler systems. Again, through our department, there's also review that's conducted through the State Fire Marshal's Office, and usually whichever one's more stringent is which one they have to meet. So it's not just by adopting the new code, there's still standards through other agencies that might implement it or require it.
Could that also take place in the residential?
No. As far as residential, that's it's strictly through us. The fire marshal has nothing to do with the single family part of it.
Okay.
That comes next.
Any more questions of council?
If there are no questions from council, then are there any members of the public that would like to address this issue? Sir, would you come forward? When you do come forward, would you give us your name and address? And is there a sign-up sheet up there, Robin?
There will be.
Oh, okay. I'm Jim Clark. I'm an architect. Been here for about 25 years. Educated in Boston. Worked up there for about 10 years. And I learned a lot up there while I was there because they're overly restrictive. And I like a lot of the things we do here. But I don't think we need a new code. I think we need to look at what we've got, and we have in place the ability to change it by making these small changes that we do. And I think that's the right thing to do, because when you put a new code in every, I don't care how long it takes. The technology behind buildings is old, and it's going to remain old as far as the structure goes and whatever. The only thing that's really changing right now is dealing with green energy, and that's not really a big issue. So what I say is keep the old code, make the changes that are in the new code that you feel are to an advantage. And there are some things in the present Sussex County code that I find a problem. Excuse me. For instance, you don't have to have any anchorage on the plates. And boy, when you have a house on Broadkill Beach and it doesn't have any anchorage on the plates, I think you got a problem. And most architects know how to fix that. But say we have a lot of people come down here from Pennsylvania, design builders that have 30 years experience, never built anything on the beach. Mm-hmm. They don't know. Mm-hmm. And you got to have something, I think, that requires that they anchor these buildings. Another thing, they come down here and they build buildings on the beach with sliding glass doors facing northeast. Mm-hmm. That's insane. That's actually a life safety hazard, because these buildings get they leak immediately, and eventually they rot, and you never know when they're going to go. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. And would you sign your name on the sheet, please? Is there any?
Isn't all this tied to our insurance rates,
Mr. Wright?
Isn't this all tied to our insurance rates? I thought it was all. It had to do with
yes.
That.
And one of the other things that was included in your packet was back in last September, we were rated through the International Insurance Services Organization. Mm-hmm. Because we are so three editions behind current codes, that was going to be a possible regression in our insurance ratings. So,
mm-hmm.
And also to comment on Mr. Clark's, I'm not sure what exactly areas of anchorage he's referring to, but we do require minimum requirements for sill plate bolts and adherence or anchorage to structural members.
But that would be insurance rates for everyone, county and the owner of the house.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If they decide to go through.
It'll be cheaper for our folks.
Yes, and that was another one of the driving forces with the update.
Thank you. Sir, would you like to come forward and give us your name and address and sign the sheet, please?
Sure. My name is Howard Fortunato. With all due respect to the gentleman that just spoke before us, I'm the Executive Vice President of the Home Builders Association of Delaware. And several of our builder members were part of a coalition that I think it was Mr. Wright described earlier, and were part of looking at the code and the updated code. We are here to encourage you to adopt the 2012 code with the all of the exemptions that he talked about, certainly most notably with the exception of residential sprinklers. And I have a nice fancy letter here, quick thing, but that's the gist of it. And we're here to support the code, the adoption of the 2012 code, with the exception of without putting in sprinklers, residential sprinklers.
Okay.
Thank you.
You can leave your letter with our clerk, Mrs. Scribble.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in regards to this matter, sir?
Some extra copies here.
Hi, I'm Mark Ronnie with Atlantic Homes from Lewis, Delaware. I've been building in the county for over 20 years, and I'm here in support of adopting the 2012 code with the exemptions that Andy mentioned. We appreciate the opportunity to work with the county on looking at what would be right for the county and the exemptions that were developed. So we stand here in support of the item.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else like to speak in regards to this proposed ordinance?
Sir?
Good morning, Councilman. My name is Mark Fitzgerald. I'm the Vice President of Shell Brothers, and I also echo Mark and Howard's comments. I'm here representing both Shell Brothers, and I'm a board member of the Home Builders Association. We also appreciated being participants in the process of reviewing the upcoming code. And for us as builders, as we grow, it makes things easier if all jurisdictions are building under the same code. One of the challenges we face today is we'll be building under one code within the county, and then we go to Rehoboth Beach or Bethany Beach, and each little town will have possibly be a different code adoption. I think you guys, there's been a couple, I think Millsboro's already gone to this, Rehoboth Beach is in the process, and as everybody gets on one code, it helps us builders, learn the code and build the one code. And the same thing applies as we go to different counties. And then up to Newcastle. So we are in support of the adoption of this code.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in regards to this proposed ordinance? Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. If the council does desire to act on it at this time, Mr. President, I'd propose that first, we do an amendment setting forth the date that it would become effective, and then vote on the entire ordinance.
Okay. Well, should we get that amendment together?
We'll.
I don't want to delay unless we have to. I'd rather do it now.
We'll entertain the motion, but we need to do the amended amendment first. So if you would want to read the amendment.
Okay. The proposal that Mr. Wright had indicated was amending the ordinance as presented by using the date October 1 of 2013. So it would read Section 4 effective date. This ordinance shall become effective on October 1, 2013.
Entertain a motion for the amendment.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay. It's an ordinance to amend Chapter 52, Section 52-1 of the Code of Sussex County to adopt the building construction standards in the International Building Code 2012 edition and the International Residential Code 2012 edition with exemptions as amended by your prior motion.
Entertain a motion.
I'll make it.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes. Do you need my reasons or?
No, it's fine.
Okay, very good.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson. Yes. I vote yes. Motion carried. Andy, thank you and thank everybody that participated in that process. I think that makes it work when everybody gets their public input in and help us do a better job.
Okay.
Next, sir.
Yes, and now is the time for a public hearing for a zoning matter, and I'm going to read the rules of procedure for county council zoning hearings. When council holds public hearing on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or the applicant's witnesses. If you intend to speak, you are required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank, and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And the hearing today is for change of zone 1728, application of Lighthouse Carillon.
I don't have
LLC.
How do you say it?
Rillon.
Rillon.
You're going to, we've heard four or five different pronunciations of that word. Mr. Byard, I'm sure we'll straighten you up in a few minutes.
That's right. That term doesn't come off very well off my Sussex County tongue.
No.
Mr. Lank.
He's got one of those blue blood Ivy League educations, right, Mr. Byard?
Oh, sure.
You'll have his.
Mr. Lank.
This is an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from AR1, Agriculture Residential District, to a CR1, Commercial Residential District, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County. Parcel containing 2.818 acres, more or less, lying southwest of Route 5, also known as Indian Mission Road, and being 600 feet west of Route 24, also known as John J. Williams Highway, and being identified as tax map ID District 234, map 23, and being part of parcels 260 and 269.18. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on May 9th of 2013. Before you and provided, or not before you, but provided to you last Friday in your packet was a copy of the report of the commission for that public hearing date on May 9th. The packet included, and before you do, excuse me, have an exhibit booklet that was provided by the applicants. In a public hearing with the Planning and Zoning Commission, we had this same exhibit booklet. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, the Dean Byard Esquire with Morris James Wilson Halbrook and Byard LLP, and Rick Polk and Brian Zollinger of Vista Design Incorporated were present and gave testimony for the application. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application, and at the conclusion of that public hearing on May 9th, the Commission did defer action for further consideration. On May 23rd, the Commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change zone number 1728 for a change in zoning from AR1 to CR1 for Lighthouse Carillon LLC based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this is an extension of existing CR1 zoning. The area is approximately 2.8 acres in size. The entire parcel is the site of a commercially zoned shopping center. By adding this additional area of CR1, the site plan and access to the shopping center will be significantly improved. Two, the rezoning is consistent with nearby zoning and uses. At or near the intersection of Route 5 and 24, there are two other commercially zoned shopping centers, gas stations, a bank, and other commercially zoned or zoning and business and commercial uses. Three, the proposed rezoning will not have an adverse impact on traffic. Instead, it will improve traffic flow within the planned Carillion Square commercial project and adjacent roadways by allowing a safer means of ingress and egress to the project. Four, the area is served by the Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District and water will be provided by Tidewater Utilities Incorporated. Five, the proposed zoning meets the purposes of the CR1 zoning district in that it promotes the orderly growth, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of present and future residents of Sussex County. And six, it was noted that there were no parties appeared in opposition to this proposed rezoning. There was a motion and second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that it be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0. I received no additional comments from any agency or individual to date since the public hearing on May 9th. And that's all I have. Unless you have questions.
Any questions, Council?
Did they indicate why they wanted to defer it? Did they find some new information that?
Typically, in most all the applications that go before the commission, they defer to give the commissioners the opportunity to think about the project and come up with a valid recommendation.
Okay.
That's pretty typical of the commission. Yeah.
Any other questions? If not, Mr. Byard.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. George, for your edification, the word is Carillon.
Say that one more time.
Carillon.
Carillon.
Loosely defined as a bell tower. Travel the Wilmington area, particularly Route 202, where the Nemours Children's Hospital is, there is a bell tower known as the Carillon.
Oh, okay.
That said, for the record, I'm Gene Byard. I represent the applicant, Lighthouse Carillon. With me today is Rich Pope, the project engineer from Vista Design, and Bob Sipple, principal of Lighthouse Carillon. This application is not difficult, but it's a little unusual, if not unique, because the applicant proposes no new commercial structures on this 2.8 acres. This is the fourth commercial rezoning for this assemblage of properties. Three earlier applications in 2000, 2003, and 2011 have been granted by council. And as we speak, site work on a Rite Aid and a Wawa is underway. With that, Rich, if you could come forward and identify yourself.
For the record, my name is Rich Polk, an engineer with Vista Design.
Could you take council on a whirlwind tour of the area around this property?
Sure.
Pointing out zoning classifications as you go?
Sure. This map was prepared to show the various existing zonings that surround the property. The existing Carillon Square Shopping Center is in the pink, just to the west of Route 24. This is the Route 24, Route 5 intersection. To the east of the existing Carillon Square Shopping Center is the Giant Shopping Center, Giant Food Shopping Center, as well as a McDonald's. On the north side is an existing residential piece of property, and north of that is an existing gas station, as well as the Food Lion Shopping Center. To the south of the property is existing Timber Acres Mobile Home Park, as well as the BB Medical Facilities. And to the west of the property is more property that is owned by the Lighthouse Carillon ownership, and I believe has been proposed through the cluster to this point as residential development.
Rich, is it safe to say you described the character of the neighborhood as trending toward commercial?
Absolutely.
Are there any wetlands on this 2.8 acres?
No, there is not.
Are there any rare, threatened, or endangered species on this 2.8 acres?
No, there is not.
Any historical or archaeological features on this 2.8 acres? Source of water and sewer to this property?
Sewer will be provided through Sussex County, and water is provided through Tidewater Utilities.
Did you make a trip to PLUS?
Yes, we did.
And the response?
It was actually through the communications with PLUS that they recommended that we kind of seek an increase in the existing commercial space to allow for improved internal circulation within the neighborhood, within the commercial shopping center itself.
What about Deldo?
Deldo has also made comments to the effect that they would like to see this happen for the shopping center.
So this
is improves internal circulation, provides a backdoor access to the shopping center to Route 23, thereby taking traffic off Route 23.
This is a rare event when PLUS, Deldo, and an applicant agree. The project should be redesigned. Do you believe there'd be any adverse impact of any sort on the character of the neighborhood or property values in the neighborhood?
No, as part of this, there's no increase in the shopping center. Am I
correct that this is in level two on the state strategies map for spending?
That's correct.
In your view, is this consistent with the county's comprehensive land use plan?
Yes, it is.
That's all I have of Rich. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the three earlier zoning changes were change of zone 1359, 1491, and 1708. Just as you approved those, we ask that you endorse the recommendation of the commission and approve this one. And we'll answer any questions you have.
I think I understood you to say that no commercial uses were proposed. Commercial buildings.
No new buildings.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea generated remarkably among the developer PLUS and LDOT is that this was create better traffic flow.
Mm-hmm. I heard that.
Internal design. That's
right.
The idea.
But they could use any, they could, it's going to be a CR1. They're entitled to everything under there.
Conceivably, but I believe with the commitments made with LDOT and PLUS, it probably won't happen.
What?
I say with the commitments made with LDOT and PLUS, based on this redesign, that probably won't happen.
Oh. Well,
permits might not be forthcoming. I didn't say that, but
that's a mystery.
Other questions?
To me.
Yeah, the there's no more construction. I mean, the what's there is there. You're saying this is just
there will be construction, but there will be no new construction in addition based on this rezoning.
Okay.
The original rezoning for the shopping center had a little over 54,000 square feet of commercial space.
Right.
What's happening here is the developer is just basically asking for a squaring off of the back property line to allow that same 54,000 change of square footage to be better placed on the property.
Okay.
So that pedestrians and vehicles and patrons to the center have it safer.
The other pink area down below there coming down right now, what's the intent for that?
There is no intent right now. What has gone to PLUS so far is a residential neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And what has been presented to PLUS is a townhome development.
Okay.
Within this area and this area extending out to this road.
Okay, because I'm looking here, and you said there was no rare species or anything, that kind of stuff on the site?
That is correct, and that includes this back area as well.
Because, I mean, in the booklet I'm looking, it said Division of Fish and Wildlife was not permitted to access at this time, so did they get access, or who determined all that?
We've had our own private consultants go out and look for endangered and threatened species.
Okay, so you didn't. Okay, so typical, but it also when the DNREC request access, it was denied, Gene?
I can't address that, Mr. Cole. I simply don't know.
Well, it says here a property owner does not wish to grant access, but.
At this time. I mean, it's just something that was not granted at this time because there's no proposed.
Okay. And how about the referencing to the 15-foot buffer from the edge of the wetlands? What buffer are they talking about on that, in this PLUS?
There is no. The only wetlands on the property at all are back here.
Right.
There's no impacts to those. There's no proposed. They're not in the vicinity of this 2.8
right.
acres now.
Yeah, because that is, I mean, it's pretty sensitive back there. And that is a part of that, what Gosling Creek
watershed and stuff, which is important. So it appears from this booklet from the PLUS or something that the applicant wasn't real.
That will be the next application, Mr. Cole.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to clear up. So what we're seeing here today is really not going to impact any of that area.
No.
That, okay.
Okay.
There's no.
Just trying to get that cleared up. Okay.
Just the whole property. PLUS application is for the whole property, mm-hmm.
right?
Including the idea of townhomes.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? So no other questions. Mr. Byard, did you have any other witnesses?
No, we don't.
Okay. Is there anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else that would like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, at this time we can close the public hearing on this matter, and with the council's desire, we could close the public record as well.
We'll close public hearing, and if, without any questions of council, we'll close public comment and ask Mr. Moore to read the short title.
Here it is. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying in being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 2.81829 acres, more or less, tax map ID 2-34-23, part of parcels 260 and 269.18.
Pleasure of council.
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver, to adopt the ordinance. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, and for the very same reasons Mr. Johnson of the Planning and Zoning Commission gave, and anything to improve traffic movement in that area is a good thing.
Mr. Cole.
It's an extension of an existing commercial district, and I believe it's appropriate. Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Based on the record and recommendation of planning and zoning and looking at the intent being a good, wise land use, I vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes on the recommendations of P&Z.
I also agree with planning and zoning's recommendation, the fact that it does make sense to square off that piece of property to allow for better flow of traffic, pedestrian and vehicular traffic, makes sense. I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Moore?
I believe that is the only other public hearing that is today. The other one was canceled.
So we have to take it. There's no action required on that.
We can either just not act, or you could make a motion to not have a hearing on that it's being withdrawn.
I'll make a motion that we don't have a hearing on the application because it has been withdrawn.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Any questions on that motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, I hope it's going to come back. I have a question.
Yeah. Wait a minute, hold time. Tom, back up. I'm sorry, Mr. Wilson.
What's the difference between a hearing or an act on it?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
What would be the difference, Everett, on acting or?
Well, if we don't have a hearing and not act on it, it would not be ever put in place. And you would have to schedule for a rehearing.
Mm-hmm.
You can just totally withdraw it, have a motion to withdraw as Mr. Phillips did, and it kills it at this point.
Okay, so the guy doesn't have to come back and...
This is not a zoning ordinance. It's not for a public hearing on a conditional use. This was for an ordinance change.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Cole, I'm sorry about Mrs. Deaver, you voted yes?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
So yes, motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Moore. Grant request. Mrs. Roth.
Thank you. We have two grant requests today. The first one is for Cape Penelope High School to sponsor an after graduation party, and no amount was specified for this.
No amount, George.
Mm-hmm. Because of my funds are a little low right now, I'll give $250.
Very nice.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second,
Mr. Phillips to grant $250, Mr. Cole, taxpayer account.
That'll
to Cape Penelope High School to sponsor after graduation party. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, ma'am.
Okay, Mr. President. The second one is Cats Around Town Society, which is a request for funds to help spade and neuter program in Lower Sussex County. and they are requesting $1,000.
Where are they from?
Ocean View area.
Ocean
Beach.
View?
Yes.
Oh, well, there's a lot of catting around in Ocean View. And but again, Mike, I'll give $200 to take care of a couple cats.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Grant $200 to cats around town for spay and neuter program. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. Proposed zoning ordinance introduction, Mr. Moore.
Yes, there's one, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a paintball facility and other sports-related activities to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 12.9 acres, more or less, tax map ID 1-33-8-1, and it's on behalf of Stephen T. James, doing business as Precision Paintball, and it's District 1.
Is that CU? Excuse me, I'm sorry.
It's conditional use.
It is a CU, and they evidently they're going to have paintball, what we're talking about. Okay.
Wasn't there a second
trying to
ordinance?
Figure out what they're going to do. I'll go look at the file.
I thought we had one from District 5.
Let me look.
Maybe I got the wrong.
You're right. I'm sorry. There is another. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for botanic gardens and related visitor center, conservatory, theater, nature center, and parking to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 36.99 acres, more or less, tax map ID 2-33-6-116.10, on behalf of Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens, Inc., District 5.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Phillips introduces it. Additional business brought before council. Mr. Guy? Dan Kramer.
Surprise.
My name is Dan Kramer. You know, I really love Denrick, but they sure can mess you up in any way. Whenever you want to build something, you're going to do their way or you're going to go on the highway. And you guys just got took for $130,000 at Greenwood. How so? Well, they went in there and started digging a hole, and I thought it was just going to be a little hole. Yeah, it was a little hole, big enough to bury this building. And it's costing us $130,000 to keep the water from the roof to be settled in there so it doesn't cause no pollution. Big deal.
Entertain a motion to go into executive sessions for pending potential litigation and land acquisition.
Yes.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now going to executive session.
There you go. When